I see Pastor's message this morning was going to be on amazing grace. What a topic. Look forward to getting to that at some point. Last week, I had the privilege of opening the Word of God to you with John 10, chapter 10 and verse 10. We looked at, in the morning service, God's great promise, I am come. In the evening service, we looked at the result and the purpose of that, that they might have life. And what I was really excited to get to was the third part, that they might have it, life, more abundantly. Well, unfortunately, I'm not totally prepared on that yet, because I expected to have a few weeks to get that ready. And when I looked at that this morning, I thought, no, I am not going to rush that. That's a topic I think I could spend many weeks on myself. And so at some point, we'll condense it into one message and take a look at that. So today, something just a little bit different. Instead of grace, we're going to talk about faith. There's four times in the scriptures that we are told, and it says specifically, the just shall live by faith. And that's such an amazing and profoundly simple truth, but yet it's a truth that I think in a practical sense, in an everyday type of sense, we often stumble over. The just shall live by faith, I know that. But in our everyday lives, do we really live it? The just one, the scriptures say, the just person, the righteous one, by faith will live. If a man is just, if a man is righteous, then the evidence of it is that he will by faith live. And we know that is true for salvation because in Ephesians 2:8 it says, for by grace, it's what God does. Grace is what God does. For by grace you are saved, how? Say it, through faith. And that, the salvation, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The Philippian jailer, he said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So the just shall live, that is, be saved, have his sins washed away, receive the gift of eternal life. How? By faith. We also know that the just shall live by faith is true concerning our present circumstances. We're all in present circumstances right now. If we went all the way through the room, every one of us could tell of a present circumstance that we are in. Everything that we do as a justified believer in Christ, friends, must be done by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you know it, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we live. We walk by faith. We're not only saved by faith, but we live by faith. So four times in the Bible we're told that the just shall live by faith. And just as an introduction, let's kind of quickly look at those four different times in the Bible where it says the just shall live by faith. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians 3:11. This is one we're very familiar with. In verse 11, the Bible says, but that no man is justified by the law, that is by works, by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now, obviously, this passage of Scripture is talking about salvation, being justified before God, and that by the law, no man can ever be justified in the sight of God. Why is that? It's very simple, because you and I can't keep the law. No man can keep the law. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in how many points? One point, he is guilty of all. No man can keep the law." In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Turn now to the second place where it says the just shall live by faith, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1:16. We'll look at verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," the Apostle Paul pens, "for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, this is also talking about salvation. The power of God for salvation is only available to everyone that believes. The just, let's turn it around a little bit. The just by faith shall live. In John 3:36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." There's no gray area there. We all love gray areas. It gives us a little wiggle room. It gives us the ability to put our own opinion in it and our own feelings sometimes. But there's no gray area here. You either believe or you don't. It's a simple transaction. God says, in effect, God says this. He says, "Look, I'll do all the work. The penalty of death you earned for your sins is paid for in Christ. His blood is shed, and the evidence that his shed blood was sufficient is that Christ was raised from the dead, and he still lives today. All you have to do is believe that it is true for yourself, that Christ paid your penalty for you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." In effect, that's what God is saying here. There's no gray area with God. You either believe or you don't. It's a very simple transaction here. Turn to the third place where it says that the just shall live by faith, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. Hebrews 10:37. Two verses here to look at. In Hebrews 10:37, the Bible says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." Verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." A little bit harder to understand here what's happening in Hebrews chapter 10. But the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 10 is all about salvation, how that the animal sacrifices from the Old Testament were made continually according to the law, and that those animal sacrifices were imperfect and incomplete. But when Christ made his sacrifice of his own body on the tree, it was perfect and it was complete. Then look back at verse 35. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And the plea here is, don't get weary because of persecution. There is great reward awaiting those whose faith endures through the hard times. And then again, look at Hebrews 10, 37 and 38. Look at it again. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." In other words, Keep enduring because the Lord is coming with his rewards. Then verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now again, although the general context here is about salvation, the focus really is more on enduring, continuing to live by faith, even when times are tough. And the warning given here is, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God takes no pleasure in unbelief. Hebrews 11:6 very clearly tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And then finally, turn to the last scripture. Anybody know what that might be in the Old Testament? It's in the book of Habakkuk. One you don't go to too often, Habakkuk. Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. It's the fifth book from the end of the Old Testament. So find that, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. This is the first mention in the scriptures of the just shall live by faith. So Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now the context here in Habakkuk is referring to the Chaldeans who God used to judge his people Israel, and who God will judge for their own wickedness. God wasn't going to let the wickedness of the Chaldeans go. He was going to judge them also. Nevertheless, the truth presented here applies to all men. And the contrast between a wicked man and a just man is obvious. The wicked man trusts in himself, and the just man by faith lives. It says, his soul which is lifted up. Lifted up means to swell. In the New Testament, it's that image is often rendered as to be puffed up. I always think of the puffer fish. You ever see pictures of a puffer fish in the oceans? When it gets frightened and it wants to scare off somebody, it's this wee little fish, and then it just puffs up real big and gets big and scares the other fish away. Men get puffed up. They swell up. His soul, which is lifted up. This is a man who walks in pride. A man who says, I can do it. One brother said this. He said, this man is like a bloated toad hopping along toward destruction. So we see here that walking in pride is the exact opposite. It's the polar opposite of living by faith. And that is exactly the point of this long introduction that I'm giving here. Looking at these four different times where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Walking in pride is the exact opposite. Walking in self-sufficiency is the exact opposite of living by faith. Whether we are talking about salvation or whether we are talking about all the present circumstances that you and I are involved in right now. The only man who pleases God is the man who by faith lives. You know, this is such an amazing and yet simple truth, but it's a truth that you and I stumble over every day. Let's go to the main course now, you might say. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. When I look at all the characters in the Bible, and there are many you can look to who are examples of living by faith, but the one that I always tend to turn to is Joseph. Genesis 37. He's a man who lived by faith because for a very, very long time, he had to endure very difficult circumstances. Circumstances that God did not deliver him from. If we want to learn what it means to, by faith, live, a good place to start is to see how Joseph lived. So, let's begin in verse 5, Genesis 37, 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. God had given something very special to Joseph. He gave Joseph a dream. He communicated directly to Joseph a truth. And this kind of communication from God is very foreign to us. We don't understand it. We don't have that kind of communication with God because we have now the completed Word of God in our hands. And we don't need dreams. We don't need visions. We don't need those kind of special things. We have something much more special right here, the completed Word of God. But God gave something very special to Joseph because he communicated directly to Joseph. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Huh, we have something much better than a dream or a vision. Now, let's look at what Joseph did with this dream. God gave him a dream, and what did Joseph do with it? Did he take that dream and ponder it and stick it in his pocket and hide it away? What did he do with it? He told it to somebody. He shared it with somebody. And that's exactly what we should do too with what God gives us. We should tell others what God tells us. Joseph didn't even have the benefit. Think about this. He didn't have the benefit of an ever-present, indwelling Holy Spirit of God. You and I do. Joseph didn't have that benefit, and yet he did exactly what God wanted him to do. God gave him something special, and Joseph shared it with those around him. That is a picture of what by faith living looks like. Taking what God gives us and giving it out to others. In Acts 1:8 it says, "But ye shall receive power," the Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples, "but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Joseph did what he was supposed to do, and his brothers hated him yet the more. Joseph's circumstances got worse, but Joseph endured, and by faith he lived. Look at verse 9. "And he dreamed yet another dream." God gave him some more. "And told it his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." They bowed down to me. "And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." Now, here we see again God communicating something very special to Joseph in a dream. And what does Joseph do with it? You see, Joseph, by faith, lived. He did what he was supposed to do. He shared it with those around him. What God gave him, he shared with those around him. But we see that the result is the same. His brothers envied him. They were jealous. And now even his father rebuked him. But what did Joseph do? Joseph endured. He by faith lived. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew up and lifted, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Here again, we see Joseph being hated by his brothers to the point that they wanted to kill him. And he was rebuked by his father for doing what God wanted him to do. And now Joseph is even sold into slavery. Now, think about yourself, if you were in Joseph's position, if you were in a similar position. Short of killing Joseph, can you think of anything lower than that? Your own family rejecting you and selling you into slavery. His circumstances have turned for the absolute worst. He's hated by his brothers, torn from his family, relocated to a foreign country, and sold into slavery. But what did Joseph do? Joseph endured and by faith lived. And how do we know that? Look at the next passage in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Take note of that. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. The Lord was with Joseph. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that faith pleases God. In Hebrews 3:12, it says that unbelief comes from an evil heart and departs from the living God. The only way the Lord would have been with Joseph was if Joseph, by faith, was living. You see, living by faith always looks beyond the present circumstances. There's no other way that living by faith exists. Living by faith always looks beyond the present circumstances. Look at Joseph. The Lord was with him. He was a prosperous man. That would not have happened, my friends, if Joseph was not by faith living. Whether times are good or times are bad, always look beyond them and know that God is in control. In Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the kind of thinking, that's the kind of heart you and I need in every circumstance of life. Not only says that the Lord was with Joseph, but it says that he was a prosperous man. A man who by faith lives will be a man who rejoices in the day God has given him, and who does whatever he does it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean or low men." You see, even men recognize when a man has a right spirit in him. And the reward of the Lord was that Joseph became a prosperous man. His circumstances of being a slave, being torn from his family, being exiled to a foreign country didn't change. But you see, neither did his faith in God. He looked beyond his circumstances to the God who is the God of all circumstances. Look at verse 19. Genesis 39:19. "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him," this is Potiphar, obviously, and Potiphar's wife's, "and his wife spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me," that's Joseph, "that his wrath," Potiphar's wrath, "was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Okay. Now, Joseph's circumstances have changed, and they've changed for the worse. But look at the very next verse, verse 21. What do we see again? "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he," Joseph, "was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." We see the exact same thing being said of Joseph again, friends. That the Lord was with him, and the Lord made Joseph to prosper. And again, that would not have happened if by faith Joseph had not been living. He was a man of faith. He was a man who did exactly what by faith living looks like. He looked beyond his present circumstances. None of his circumstances, his bad circumstances, had changed, except they got worse. He was unjustly accused of a heinous crime and cast into prison. But the Lord was with him and made him to prosper. This tells us that Joseph still had a right spirit in him. He still by faith lived. God says he's pleased by men of faith. And the evidence of Joseph's faith is that God was blessing him. Joseph continued to look beyond his present circumstances to the solid rock, the one who never changes, the God who always keeps his promises. Kind of reminds you of John 10:10, right? Where Christ said, "I am come." God keeps his promises. Joseph, by faith, lived no matter what his world looked like. Now, we're going to leave Joseph here and bring this to a conclusion. Let me say this. By faith living is not a feeling. It's an action. By faith living is not a feeling, it's an action. You may at times soothe your consciences by telling yourself, "I know I believe God, but yet you do not do what God tells you to do. Living by faith is not a feeling, it is an action. Let's turn to James chapter 2 and verse 14. James 2:14. Verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" The point that I want to make here is not so much about salvation as it is about faith and what it means to, by faith, live. Would Joseph have lived by faith if he had focused upon his circumstances? Would Joseph have lived by faith if he had given up? Joseph's works showed that he trusted God through every circumstance. Now, what follows here in James after this verse that we're so familiar with, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" What follows here is really a practical example. Look at verse 15. It says, "If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Now, again, this is simply an example of what by faith living looks like. So let's not be so quick to soothe our consciences by saying to ourselves, "I would never do that." The point of the example here is, do your actions always match your words? Do your actions always match your words? Jesus said that your words come from the heart. Your words reveal what is really in your heart. Now, in this example, the words are good. The words said are good, but they are empty. They are meaningless. They are words without substance. And why is that? Because the words required an action, and that action was not taken. The one place in Scripture that we most often go to concerning faith is Hebrews chapter 11, and you don't need to turn there. You're familiar with what that first verse says. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Very familiar. What we learn from that verse is this, that faith has both substance and faith has evidence. Faith has both substance and faith has evidence. Substance is talking about being the foundation of whatever edifice. Substance is the foundation of it. Evidence is the proof. Faith is, in other words, let me put it this way. Faith is made out of real stuff. We like to use that, stuff, you know. What's in there? I don't know, some kind of stuff, you know. Faith, friends, is made out of real stuff. It's not something that's imaginary. It has raw material. And the raw material of faith is fashioned, it's molded into action. Faith acts when there is every circumstance against it. Faith acts when every person around you is against it. Faith acts when your opposition is winning. Faith acts when there is no reasonable evidence of any hope of victory. Faith acts because you know who God is, and it is in Him that you trust. Think about the circumstances of Joseph. His faith was put into action when every circumstance was against it. It was against him. His faith was put into action when every person around him was against him, even his family. Faith acts when it looks like everyone against you is winning. Think when he was thrown into the pit and then sold into slavery. Faith acts when there's no reasonable evidence of any hope of victory. Do you think Joseph could see any hope of victory when he was thrown into prison? All that had already happened to him. Faith acts because you know who God is, and it's in Him that you trust. You see, Joseph, with all that had taken place in his life, he, by faith, lived because he could always go back to the first dream and the second dream that God had given him. He knew it was true because he knew who his God was. He couldn't see how it would ever come to pass, but he lived by faith. By faith, he lived. Every moment of every day, we have to make a choice. Whether we're going to by faith live or by sight live. Whether we're going to reckon the circumstances around us as more true than God. More true than the Word of God. That Word that's forever settled in heaven. We have to make a choice whether God keeps His promises or not. God says the just ones, the righteous ones, are men and women and children who by faith live. And that pleases Him. Faith is what pleases Him. Let's bow our heads. How are you going to live today? How are you going to live tomorrow and even the next week? Are you going to live by sight? Are you going to live by what the circumstances are around you? Are you going to live by seeing the opposition against you? Are you going to live by looking at your circumstances and seeing that there just doesn't seem to be any hope of victory? There's so much opposition. Or are you going to joyfully live by faith? Are you going to, like Joseph, he looked back to the promise that God had given him in the dream. We look back to the promises of God in His Word. Are you going to live by faith or by sight? The just ones, the righteous ones, the ones who please God are the ones who by faith live. And that's not only true of salvation, of being delivered from our sin by the shed blood of Christ. That's also true. It's as true and as powerful for how we live day by day. Because our walk, our life, our living day by day has to be done exactly the same way as our salvation. And that's by faith. Lord God, I ask for each one of us today that, Lord, we have so much to be thankful for and so much to be joyful about because you are ever faithful to us. You are the one who never leaves us nor forsakes us. You are the one who loves us enough to send your son to die for us, to pay our penalty of sin. It was just for us to die, but Christ died in our place. You are the one who loved us enough to impute upon our account the very righteousness of Christ. You are the one who loves us enough to make us sit in heavenly places with Christ. And Father, we know that faith pleases you. God, help us. Help each one here today who comes to you and says, Lord, there are times when I don't have faith. I don't please you. Lord, there are times when I walk by sight. God, forgive me. We thank you that you are the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's only by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we can, by faith, live. What an example, Father, you gave us in Joseph. Today, tomorrow, the next week and beyond, Lord, help us to, by faith, live. Your word has so much to say about it, so much that we can learn. And Lord, I pray that today my brother can encourage me by his faith, and that I can encourage my brother by my faith. Oh, it's not me lifting up myself by my bootstraps, not by any means. Lord, you are the one who enables and gives faith. Help us to choose to walk by faith. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.